Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Happens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie, how are you?
Well, hello, Benoon. What you do's?
Oh, not much. Just coming back from a nice, long 3-day weekend here in the U.S. Feel very rested, but I'm also like, how do I podcast? Like, I forgot. I almost messed up this intro. I'm like, what do I say? How do I be funny? You know?
It is definitely rough getting back into the world. I woke up today like, no. And then I remembered that I have like the easiest job in the world. So it was okay.
Yeah. It sometimes just takes a moment to ramp back up into the world. And I'm sure it's not just us. But anyway,
Those things where it's like I'm older now, and like it's one of those like my neck hurts because I've been watching too much TV and sitting in the same position for like hours at a time. I'm surprised I don't have bed sores from sitting in the same position all weekend. And you know, it's things like, well, I need to try and stretch because I can't move my neck because I was watching too much TV. I mean, that's the state of my life right now. I'm not proud of it, but I feel the need to confess it somewhere. So there you go.
I get it. I was really indulgent. I was like a monster this weekend. I just ate all the bad food for me, and I just was like very self-indulgent. Video games, junk food. I lost my mind. It was crazy, but also great at the same time.
Yeah, it sure was.
But today we're talking Top Chef. We did not have Take a Seat last night because we were taking a 3-day weekend. But Take a Seat will be back on Spotify Live next Monday. And that's always going to be at 10 o'clock on the East Coast, 7 o'clock on the West Coast. So put that in your calendar now and come join us, because we actually always have a really fun time talking about Bravo, pop culture, gossip. It's really fun. Interactive show. Highly recommend it. And of course, everyone, go check out our Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Where we have bonus episodes every single week. And then we also do some, we record on video our podcast. That's Crappens On Demand. So go check that out. We also have a Discord channel. So that's a lot of fun stuff on Crappens On Demand. And lastly, go to crappensmerch.com, because we have all sorts of really wonderful merch that you can wear around wherever you want to wear it. You can, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of cool options, really, really cool things. So that's at crappensmerch.com. And now it's time to talk Top Chef. And yesterday I looked onto Instagram, and Padma was being so Padma on Instagram. She had a video up where she was in lingerie. She's like, hi, I'm going to show you how to make cold cucumber yogurt soup. And I was like, this is so Padma.
It was like cucumber salad. I saw it too, and I was cracking. I even took a screenshot of it. making chilled cucumber soup in my 90 headlights. I mean, Padma, smell, is it cold in there? Did you put the cucumbers on your dicks? Because it looks like you're cold in there. And she's wearing like a Kyle robe on top of it. And I was like, yeah, that's how everybody needs to be making chilled cucumber soup. It's like the sexiest thing I've ever seen.
I know.
Someone eating a fucking cucumber.
I was like, who dumped Padma? What is this revenge video she's doing? Because she was ostensibly showing us how to make cucumber yogurt soup, but she was looking so sexy while doing it. I was like, who are you trying to make jealous right now? Because I know you're doing it to someone. This is ridiculous. Like, she was like, all you have to do is put yogurt in a blender with a cucumber. Oops, put it in too small of a blender. My bad.
I'm like, oh God. Sometimes I just put cucumbers in a smaller blender to make the cucumber feel bigger. Old Padma trick. You're welcome.
God bless her. So
God bless Padma. I saw her do one the other day where she's like, today I'm making a grilled cheese. My daughter loves them. And so she puts a piece of bread on the pan, and then she puts some cheese, and then another piece of bread on top. And she's like, and now I'm going to put the lid on so that the heat stays in and melts the cheese. And I was like, is Padma Lakshmi really trying to convince me that she's like a world-class chef right now with her fucking grilled cheese. And then the grilled cheese comes out and it's burnt. It's black. It's a black grilled cheese. She's like, there you go, everybody. It's like, you suck. You suck. Okay. And I will forever be subscribed.
I learned this recipe from my dear friend, Molly Ringwald. She's a great grilled cheese ambassador.
Yeah, Padma's out there hustling whatever it is she's hustling. I'm not really sure, but
yeah,
it's highly enjoyable to me. So previously, welcome back to the competition, Sarah. Hope you find another way to fuck up Ahi. Ha 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 ha.
Can't spell Ahi without ha ha and an I.
Have you ever watched Top Chef Family Edition, by the way? Because they, when you know, this recording, they tagged on Top Chef Family to try and force us all to watch it. Girl, shut up, Top Chef Family. Get off of my... It's these teenagers and their parents are, oh, I can make it. I'm going to do it great. You know who's the best chef in my family? Me, of course! They're all like kid chefs trying to make previous Top Chef dishes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just made me really glad that I don't have children. Not because the children were awful or because the parents were awful. Just because it's all kind of awful. And I just can imagine myself just smacking them with the wooden spoon every time they do something wrong.
Top Chef, for whatever reason, has just not been able to really kill it with a spinoff. I mean, I love Top Chef Masters, and obviously we've talked about Top Chef Desserts. We love those shows, and I don't know why we don't reboot them. They should be rebooted, but they really haven't been able to do it, and I don't understand why they don't turn Restaurant Wars into its own show. Like, I would watch Restaurant Wars, but what I don't want to watch, I don't want to watch Top Chef Amateurs, and I don't want to watch Top Chef Kids, because if I wanted to watch those, I would just watch the Food Network.
Yeah, and that Megan What's-Her-Buns, it's all about the bass,
I wanted to say Mulally, and I wanted to say Thee Stallion. It's neither of those. It's Megan Trainor.
The bane of my existence, Megan Trainor. I know, Trainor.
Yeah.
She's bugged me ever since I got an Amazon Echo or whatever, because every song on Amazon Music was, it's all about, you really want to know my sign? No. You want to be like me? No. It's like, shut up. I can't with this girl. Well, she's the host of this, you know? So I feel like the show's bullying me, okay? It's like, it's triggering in every way. You've got kids, which I never had, and I'm kind of glad, but probably going to die alone. Then you've got this Megan chick coming on there and annoying me. And then, since there's kids on the show, everybody has to be like super happy. It's like mm-hmm. Top Chef. And it's all the same people as Top Chef because, you know, now they have like their community theater repertoire of actors that they use.
Yeah, like Dale or
chefs
whatever.
Who have been on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
And it's
I don't...
like, Brooke, here's Brooke Williamson. And Brooke comes on. She's like, hi. I was like, you're not Brooke. What kind of pod person are you? Brooke is not like this. She's like, hi, kids. Look at me wearing pink and really brightly checkered pants. I can't wait to make a dish with you today.
Yeah, because like what? Top Chef fans want to watch children cooking. Like people who love Top Chef, a lot of us are in it because we are excited to see high-end chefs in some ways, high-end chefs or just like an elevated version of this stuff. So then I don't want to see a kid do it. No offense to the kid. It's cool. A kid can do it. But there's like MasterChef Junior or whatever if I wanted to have that experience, and I don't. Like, if I were going to have a Top Chef spinoff that was not going to be Restaurant Wars, I don't know. Like, maybe it's something like, I don't know. I don't know what, I think I'm out of ideas. I don't even have an idea.
You're fired from this imaginary Bravo.
Bring back Just Desserts. Like, it was a good show. Like, enough time has passed since they made a winner out of a pedophile that I think we can reboot it. I think it's like it's been in
right,
Bravo
it's
jail
not dessert's
long enough.
Fault it's not dessert's fault that guy was a pedophile. Like, what are we all gonna stop eating dessert because that guy was a pedophile, you know? Like,
yeah, like Top Chef
put him in
desserts.
Jail and keep making dessert.
Yeah, I mean, in that show it had some amazing meltdowns. There was that one guy who like lost his mind over Red Hots. He was like, Red Hots for my mommy, Red Hots for my mommy. Do you remember that guy?
Of course. But Top Chef isn't... The thing is, like, I like kids and everything, but Top Chef is for broken chefs. It's for broken adults.
Yeah.
who are depressed and miserable, probably just got off heroin. That's what Top Chef is, okay? I need it to remain... I don't need happy Brooke. I want my Brooke, you know, slightly doubtful and grumpy. That's how I like Brooke. That's how Brooke is made. That's how I like her.
Yeah, I would even be down for like a Hell's Kitchen version of Top Chef, where they go in and they fix a restaurant, and then Padma walks in with Brooke, and Padma's like, "Wow, so I see you've turned this pinball machine into a table. That's interesting." You know, she can just shade the whole thing.
Did you mean for this menu to be typed out in Helvetica?
I'm sorry. Could you laminate this menu, please? I think Gail dripped some barbecue sauce on your printout.
Well, anyway, on the previouslys, it's going to be an hour until we get into the before we get into the recap. But on the previouslys, they showed the part where Padma goes,
"Oh, I just had a bite of Ashley's squid.
It was raw." Padma and Gordon Ramsay are the most they are the most emotive people who have had bad food in their lives. Like, I remember, speaking of Hell's Kitchen, anytime Gordon Ramsay has anything that's like slightly spicy, he goes, "Ooh," and he like spits it out. He's like, "I could have died." You know, he like is so dramatic every single time. And Padma's like that too. She bites into him and she goes, "It was raw."
So we're still in Galveston, I think. Are we? Next challenge
will be
your final challenge in Houston. And why is Tom having people meet him down at the docks?
I think
I'm on the wrong notes.
I was going to say, I don't think that happened. I didn't think the calamari thing happened previously, but I enjoyed revisiting it, so I didn't push back.
I like the idea that they just keep showing it every week.
Previously on Top Chef, I was sitting with Ali Wong and I was telling her about this squid I ate and how I was like,
I said, "Ali, when you're on set for one of your major feature films, have you ever been served a squid that you just can't eat? Well, that happened to me too."
And I said,
Previously on Top Chef, Nick, please pack your Mississippi cookie cutter and go.
Bye.
We're sick of rectangle foods.
Thanks for making us a crab, quote unquote, cake.
At stake for the winner of Top Chef, Gail's breakfast.
And then they just show an ice cream cone with like 30 scoops on it.
Oh God, I would love that right now. So they're all heading to Tucson for the finale. It's a UNESCO World Gastronomy City of Gastronomy and Chimichangas. And they're all talking in front of bad green screens about like what the finale means to them. And like Sarah's hair is really bad on the green screen because her hair is kind of like, it's like, it's not that it's curly. It's just like, is it wavy or I don't know how you describe her hair, but it's like big and voluminous. And so the green screen's all messed up. So it looks like she sort of just has like yellow light behind her, you know?
She did look kind of crazy in the green screen. It's like, where are they green screen? Are they in like the closet? Because I've had to do green screen in the closet, like for YouTube videos, because there's no, like, where do you put a green screen, you know? So I painted a closet wall green, and then I would sit in front of it, and I was like, how do I light this properly? Because, of course, the closet is as big as a shoebox, you know?
Yeah, well, Sarah she literally looked like the Erd tree from Elden Ring. she really was this big yellow tree.
This was like one of those ending sections where they're like, it's very serious. It's a competition. Dun, 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 dun. And they show them walking up to, like, I don't know, the Big 8 Hotel in Tucson or whatever. And they're each rolling a suitcase. And they keep cutting to the other's rolled suitcase. So I was like, wow, it's a suitcase off. I like it.
I feel like the last time Bravo went to Tucson was in the series premiere of Game of Crowns, when those two women arrived at the Tucson air baggage claim wearing the identical jumpsuit and they screamed at each other, which really that was definitely the moment I was totally sold on that show.
Tucson has seen it all, guys.
So, so Damar they're all rolling. There's a lot of roller bags going through. And they're all kind of like talking about how much it means to them. And Evelyn's crying, talking about how she worked her ass off. And Sarah's like, I've experienced the highest of the highs And the lowest of the lows, ahi tuna. Yes, Padma, thank you for highlighting that low.
Sorry, I would have said something about the highs of the highs, but I don't remember those moments.
Was there some sort of pastrami sandwich that you gave us that we said we liked? I guess that works.
And she says, I had to go through the brutality of Last Chance Kitchen. Oh, for Christ's sake. Go tell a therapist. Go tell your therapahiist about it. Okay, ma'am. The brutality of Last Chance Kitchen. But now she gets a fresh start with a win under my belt.
Is that like a 12-pack of donuts? Because that's how Gail's starting it.
Starting over, as Gail calls it. Putting another dollar in the vending machine.
And Buddha is wearing a Kyle Richards hat. He's wearing one of those like weird, trendy, like felt hats. I don't know what you call them, but it's hilarious. It's hilarious that Buddha's hip clothes. You know, it's like
yeah.
Teenage girl in a mall. You know, who's just become too good for Claire's. It's like Claire's what? Ew.
It's like this billboard I saw last night for a new show on Amazon called The Summer I Became Pretty. That's Buddha. So then they all, at the end of this like roller bag off, they all, each one of them says, I am a loser.
Not famous.
The next Top Chef, actually. No, loser. Not famous loser. I like that version.
Not a friend of Ali Wong. Is this just like one of those things where you put blanks and I fill in the words?
I am a friend of Bronson Pinchot. Maybe that's what you are.
It's a pad lib.
Bad libs.
it's like a Mad Lib, but you can only put Padma phrases in there.
Or you just
welcome to Tucson. Congrats to blank was lucky enough to type this.
Did you mean to?
Welcome to Tucson. Congrats to whoever was. Did you mean to enough to type this?
Mikhail Gorbachev.
Friend. So anyway, they have a they're outside with a cactus, you know, reading the Padma mail that was sent to
Padma.
Them.
Mail.
Welcome to Tucson. Congrats to whoever was lucky enough to read this letter that I had typed out, and congratulations to the person who was lucky enough to type it out. You're welcome. Poor people. Go to a place where there's other poor people. Maybe I'll see you there. I'll be the gorgeous one on a gel mat. Padma!
Don't forget your knives, idiots.
So, I love that it's typed out, but only her name is signed.
I know.
It's like, Padma, come on. You could at least jot out the note. It's not like it's long.
I know. In eighth grade, our family received like a letter from Al Gore. And it was like typed out, and then it was like his signature, but it was like literally like a print. It was like all printed, right? And I really thought it was a letter from Al Gore, and I was like, oh my god, Al Gore sent us a letter. That's what pad mail is like. It's like the Al Gore of letters. So so apparently they had like a two-week break. So Buddha is excited because he did a lot of studying of Native American and Mexican cuisine. So, you know, put that in your fancy Kyle Richards hat and smoke it. So then they go to a restaurant called El Charo, and Padma's like, hello, hello. Wow, you guys like that? I'm back to doing hello, hello. You do it twice. Doing it twice makes it much more nice. Like that? Hey, Ali, I just came up with a rhyme. Yeah, it was great.
No problem in donating a hello, poor people. It's easier than a dollar. Good morning. Congrats on being in the top four. Now let's please welcome local legend, and by local I mean very, very local. I've really never heard of him before. Charo, I'm disappointed that you're not actually Charo.
Actually, I'm going to correct myself because your name, local legend, is Carlotta Flores. You may remember her from the time she ran over someone's toes on a Rascal scooter. Welcome, Carlotta.
Carlotta's the owner of a restaurant called Charo. And guess what? The restaurant's not owned by Charo either. Why are you confusing me, Carlotta?
Chefs, You are standing in the country's oldest Mexican restaurant with continuous operation by one family. Wow, Carlotta, you guys really don't diversify. Am I right, losers?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
You're standing in the country's oldest Mexican restaurant with one of the country's oldest Mexicans, Carlotta. I hope you did research while you were away, because this is the last quickfire, and it's going to be tough. Mostly because Charo's not here. Damn it, I really was excited to meet her.
I even really practiced doing the chicka-chicka thing with that. I don't know. I really don't know much about her. Anyway.
You need to follow Charo on Instagram. Anybody who's not following Charo on Instagram, stop this podcast, go to Instagram, and follow her ass. She's amazing. She's the best follow I've ever had in my life. Well, I love her.
I remember when she was on The Surreal Life with Dave Coulier. And first, I think they did something where they had to be in a band together. And she kept on saying, the trumpet of Dave Coulier. It was just such a formal way of saying Dave Coulier's trumpet. He's like, the trumpet of Dave Coulier. That's what I always think about with Charo. And that I once saw her on the street in San Diego walking dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't know what this video is going to be. I'm just going to play a random video so you can hear it because it's my favorite.
Hola amigos, I hope you have a beautiful, successful week. We worked so hard in America. I did it too. I was very, very, very lucky and kind of successful. Hey, I want to share with you my Megan Pine.
She's getting Salud, a giant glass of wine as big as her head.
Coochie coochie and celebrate such a beautiful week.
Then she drinks the gallon of wine.
Wow. Happy weekend.
Coochie coochie, that's her thing. Coochie coochie coochie.
Coochie. I was trying to remember. I knew it was a thing. Coochie coochie.
And
coochie,
she's sitting coochie on her bar, like with short shorts and her legs crossed, doing a wine glass joke. Love you, Charo. Call me Charo.
Well, Charo, if you're listening, guess what? Over the last 100 years, El Charo has created some truly iconic dishes. I mean, isn't it true that chimichanga was started here? Wow, congratulations. That was sarcasm, Carlotta.
Chimichanga, right, Carlotta? And she's like, most certainly it was. And then we get a tip flash up on screen. It's like, tip. The chimichanga was invented when a burrito was accidentally dropped into a deep fryer. You know, also how fried chicken was invented. I think everything fried was just accidentally dropped.
Well, Carlotta, congratulations. Your restaurant is home of places where things fall in other things and become legends.
Wow, someone dropped a burrito into a fryer and didn't even get fired for it. That's called having your mother as the boss. Am I right, Carlotta?
Chimichanga stand for nepotism. There, I said it, Carlotta. I'm not afraid to say it to your face.
What delicious nepotism, Carlotta. Great job.
Way to go. I'm so glad you found a way to put a positive spin on your kitchen sloppiness.
So carne seca.
There might be a menu item that's even more popular than chimichanga. No offense, Carlotta. That's right. I just took the legendary status away from the chimichanga and gave it to something else. And that thing is hovering over our heads in a cage right now. Is that Gail? Are they transporting Gail to a hotel?
Has anyone heard of carne seca? Basically, it's a slaughtered animal that's hung out to dry in a cage high above the restaurant. So do you flavor that with nepotism? Or is that somebody who just, is that one of your sons who just left the meat out and forgot to put it in the fridge and now you call it jerky?
So as it turns out, I'm looking at my notes from the producer here. It turns out we're still doing some sort of cross promotion for Jurassic World Dominion, and we are actively transporting a velociraptor into Carlotta's kitchen, hence the cage above our heads.
Coincidentally, the velociraptor has arrived and accidentally fallen into the fryer, which is how we got chimmy dinosaur changas.
Oops, I just dropped a napkin. Care to name that something, Carlotta?
Chefs, carne seca, it translates into dried meat. So basically a gale. Is anyone familiar with carne seca?
Anyone? Is there any? Actually, let me rephrase. Is there anyone who's not familiar with it who wants to feel a little bit of shame right now? Damar, are you? You don't know about it, Damar. Everyone, look at Damar and point, then laugh. Great. Is that your sad
face? Damar is smiling. That must mean he's uncomfortable. Evelyn, let me guess. You've got experience, and she's like, "I am. It's from my family." And Carlotta's like, "That's because they do have like a cage that hangs above the restaurant, yeah. like on a crane or something." That's full of this meat. So they get all the meat off the animal and then they kind of hang it and then it dries. And then I guess they take that dried meat and turn it into spices or something.
I'm not sure how it's used. I can't tell if it's like, it seems like maybe sometimes it's ground or sometimes it's more of like a jerky, but either way, it's like sun dried meat and it's probably absolutely delicious. So Padma's, so the lady's like, Carlotta like, let's go up the stairs and let's check out the carne seca. So they start tasting it, and Padma's like, well, for this challenge, of course, Carlotta's providing the carne seca, and it's up to you to make something amazing out of it, okay? So better get shredding, because your time starts now. Do you like how I said better get shredding? Because we're talking about meat that can be shredded.
Now, take one last look at this cage, which is full of 300 pounds of meat, otherwise known as the Cage of Gale's Future. Okay, go, everybody, go!
So they all start cooking. Evelyn's talking about how she was raised on carne seca, and she's hearing her mom saying, like, make sure there's oil in the pan, make sure it's hot and everything, but she wants to step out of her comfort zone. She's, like, afraid that she's going to do something too safe if she just sort of goes to, like, what she knows best.
Right. And Sarah is telling us that jerky is very popular in Wisconsin. And she tells Michigan. Us, yeah, my boyfriend got I wrote Wisconsin. Why did I do that? Mm-hmm. But she's like, my boyfriend got his first deer last year and we broke it all down and then we turned it into jerky. What a romantic story.
I know.
God, anybody else have a boner? God, that is hot. How do deer you jerky. Put that into Tinder?
Looking for someone who wants to make deer jerky with me. So, Damar's...
Looking for someone who wants to slaughter a deer, rip it piece from piece, and hang it in a cage above a restaurant. Call me.
So, Damar's going to do... He's going to go for, like, a simple preparation. And then Buddha, he's decided he wants to... He wants to do an upside down tostada thing. So he wants it to be, he wants it to look like a tostada that fell over onto a plate. It's just like basically an upside down tostada. I don't like, he's like, his like whimsical touches are maybe starting to, we're starting to lose sight of the whatever. They're going into a crazy place. Well,
he takes that like literal inspiration. Wherever he is, right? Like we've always talked about how he takes the inspiration, but he gets so literal. Like in this one, it's like, whoops, a chimichanga fell into the fryer. So he's like, oh, a fryer, something fell. I'm going to use a fried tostada that fell. Like, okay, you know, whatever. So he does that. And then what else? 16 minutes. And everybody's grinding. And he's frying tostadas. And Sarah's basically making some kind of slop. It looks like oatmeal. Or something.
Polenta.
She's like, oh, I'm just worried that this is too weird. It's just too weird. It's a polenta, but it's like, it's, I guess it is polenta because she says later she explains that it is in fact polenta. So thank you. But I guess slop, when I saw whatever. Her stirring it, I was like, yeah. Well, because it's got so much in it. Polenta, you know, I'm just used to like kind of grits, you know, like the yellowishness, and this is like all brown and chunky. And at first I was just like, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat it, lady.
Yeah.
But so, I guess it turned out really good.
Yeah. So they wind up serving. So Sarah's first, and she has her carne seca gravy over polenta with soft egg, morels, and blackberry salsa. And Carlotta's like, oh, I love these morels. And Sarah's like, yeah, they're the best. The morels are the best. And Padma's like, huh. Very interesting dish. Thank you. I guess I'll just be left out of the morel situation then. That's fine. I don't have to love them also.
Mm. Mm. And Damar did grilled avocado in carne seca vinaigrette and corn with shredded seca. And so Padma's like, did you mean to grill this avocado? Or was it like giving the task to one of Carlotta's sons where it accidentally ended up on a grill?
He's like, I wanted to do it because it makes a crispy texture over the creaminess. That's a lie. You messed up. Face it. It's okay, Damar. Is that your sad face? Is that your sad because you messed up face? Mm. And then Buddha is like, well, this is a tostada that fell upside down because you told a story about things falling. Also, since we're in Tucson, I shaped it to look like two suns because Tucson. Get it? Anyone? No?
The goat cheese sure gives this some gaminess, Buddha. He's like, well, I hope that's a good thing. It is. Your hat, on the other hand. Never mind.
You know, I was thinking...
Evelyn did creamy grits.
With all the gaminess, I was thinking about making my tostada look like Connect Four, but I wasn't sure if that would be too funny for everyone. I regret it.
Creamy grits with relish. Wow, Evelyn. Wow. And she loved Evelyn's, actually. Well, that was a feast. And Carlotta says, overall, it was interesting. And man, you really can't tell with Carlotta because she says she likes things with her mouth, but then her face is like, you're not my family and I will fire you.
She looked miserable to be there. She was like, could not wait for everyone to get out of her restaurant. She's like, they're going into my carne seca that I keep in my cage. I told them it was off limits.
Well, I think.
And they said that they made a whole challenge about it.
I think it's because they were forced to be outside the whole time everywhere they went in Tucson. Now, listen, I know that there's an outside and people go to it occasionally. Arizona's not a place you really want to go outside too much. It's very hot. It's very hot there. So she was probably like, do you think I keep this beautiful skin by ever coming out here? No, get me out of the death cage area and back into air conditioning, you motherfuckers.
She's like, there's a dead body in there. I need them to get out of the cage before they find it. It's like a murder mystery.
Well, almost everything was good, but a couple of dishes were, girls, less successful than the ones they were next to.
A couple of dishes were like Gale spin-off shows. Less successful, you know? So, Buddha, your tostada, while I appreciated that you made it look like a cage that was hanging over a restaurant, was too greasy.
And unfortunately, the avocado could have used some texture on it. So, turns out making an avocado hot does not automatically give it texture. Go figure.
I've had grilled avocados, and I'll tell you, it was lovely, but they do not become crispy. It's just charred creaminess.
They just become mushier.
So, and then I also like how Carlotta, when she gives her compliments, she also sounds like she's just like yelling at you. She's like, Sarah, your dish. I want to have my chefs taste that. Yeah, I want to taste that. Okay. And now I'm going to use grits every single time now, ever since I had yours, Evelyn. I'm going to have grits every time. It's like, I was like, are you praising them or are you angry at them right now?
Carlotta, please tell us who won this last quickfire and will now win absolutely nothing because this show's cheap and we really don't care about you. Sarah, congratulations. You win nothing.
Sarah's like, to leave Houston on an elimination challenge and then on an elimination challenge win and then to come to Tucson on a quickfire win feels like a win sandwich right now. That's what it feels like. All right, enough with that. Okay, leave the metaphors up to me. Now get cooking your elimination challenge, all right?
Now, a chef that lives right here in Tucson, Charo! Damn it, it's Maria Mazzone. Where's Charo?
Maria, who you may remember as crying all last season, has finally found a tissue and can finally be presentable for our season of Top Chef. Hi, Maria.
Oh, you know, I love my Maria. I'm so happy to see Maria. I was like, God, I've loved her for 10 years. but she was only on last season. All the years kind of mushed together in my head.
They really do. So Maria comes out and she looks wonderful. And she's like, well, I see you met the legend. Thank you. Thank you, Maria. That's a lovely way to say hi again.
The other one. She has the biggest shoes to fill here. Gail's not a legend. She does have very big feet, though. Am I right, Carlotta?
Gail's not quite a legend, but she is known. but not really a legend. I will say, though, if a chimichanga is legendary for falling into deep fryer, I guess that makes Gail a legend because she has fallen into the bargain bin at Dress Barn.
Gail may not be a legend, but she certainly is an urban legend. Am I right? Don't say her name three times in front of a mirror.
Nothing really happens. You just feel a lot of shame for saying it so many times.
For the rest of the day, you just walk around and people try and get popcorn thrown in your mouth.
If you say Gail three times in front of a mirror, a man shows up and throws a Charleston shoe at your forehead. It's horrifying.
So, chefs.
You know, he wasn't called Candyman for nothing.
Candy Gail. It's a terrifying story.
If you say Gail three times, Gail appears in your mirror and tries to tell you about all the spin-offs she had that were canceled.
Chefs, if you didn't know, Tucson is a part of the Sonoran Desert, the most biodiverse desert on the planet. Go woke, go broke my ass. Am I right, Carlotta? I love biodiversity.
Yeah, it's like the Talenti layers of deserts.
It has plants. It also has bees.
1,000 species of bees, no less. So for this challenge, we're going to drop you off in the desert and you'll get stung. Whoever survives wins.
Whoever survives gets to listen to Maria cry about it later.
So Carlotta's like, and it's also home to over 300 species of cacti. Way to bury the lead, Padma. Sorry, I just thought bees were more interesting than cactus, but that's okay.
In addition, this desert is home to the only native pepper to the U.S., the chiltepín. And Padma's like, ow, sounds like that one hurts, am I right? So if you're fine with one sweet, one savory dish, that means you'll be making two. Look at my fingers. There's two of them because I just said two.
One has to feature cactus. The other has to feature chiltepín. Wow. Oh, and one has to be sweet and one has to be, you guessed it, savory. This is a complicated one.
And Sarah's like, wow, gosh, I hope there's something I can relate to this challenge from my personal life, like the slaughter of that deer. God, that made me feel so good. And Sarah won, so she gets an extra 30 minutes, which, I mean, come on. Everybody else gets 10 grand. I think this is such a ripoff at the end they don't win something. You guys are cheap. I know.
Seriously. So Padma's like, all right, Maria, I leave the chefs in your hands. Try not to cry too much. So they all head off to a place called Mission Garden, and they meet a guy named Jesus, and he just starts talking to them about local agriculture, and like they're trying the chiltepín and the prickly pears and cactus stuff. You know, they're like eating the local ingredients.
And Damar looks like that poor guy who's just never had a chili before. And someone's like, here, try this. You like it. You like it. And then it's the hottest chili in the garden, you know. So he eats it and he starts just licking his lips and his eyes are watering. And Maria goes, there's no crying in baseball, Poppy.
He's like, fuck you.
So
they go look around at all the vegetables. There's figs and quince and tomatoes, corn, squash, and beets. The famous three sisters, corn, squash, and beets.
Yeah. And they try things. It looks cool. It looks fun. So then now Sarah says that she's like, even though I don't love cactus, I want to know more about it. I want to know, if I served cactus ahi tuna, would it be happy?
And she's like, you know, my parents have such a passion, and it translated to me. I mean, I wouldn't keep bees if my dad didn't keep bees, and I would know nothing about fungi or fermentation. So I'm going to make savory chiltepín chimichurri and cactus in a sweet dish. I was like, oh, I kind of love Sarah's life, you know?
Yeah.
Raising bees, killing deer, breaking them down into jerky, just tasting random mushrooms on the road. You know, most of our parents are like, don't eat that mushroom. But her dad's like, you know what? I wonder if that mushroom's poisonous. Taste it, Sarah.
Yeah, I don't understand people who like to forage. To me, foraging means gonna die. Like, I think that everything is poisonous. Don't want to do it. It's like when I watch on Survivor, when people are looking for hidden immunity idols and they're poking their hands into like holes and trees. I'm like, there's a snake in there. There's a spider in there. There's fire ants. Whatever it is, they're just poison something. I'm not touching anything. If I ever go on Survivor, which I will never do, but if I ever did, I'm never going to look for a hidden immunity idol. I will tell you that right now.
I will be the first person to die on Survivor. Like, wow. The first person weak enough to actually die during the competition, Ronnie, because he didn't get chocolate when he needed it. He's beaten his head into the ground so many times that he's dead. So.
Yeah. No one needs to see me hangry on that show. And I'm definitely not poking around in the wilderness. So that's why if I'm not going to, that's long story short, I'm not looking for morels either, by the way. Morel of the story. So, Damar. Damar is like,
I wouldn't even sit around that fire. I'd be like, guys, it's 2022. Can we get a gas fire? I mean, it's just blowing in my face. I just got BBL.
I'd be like, guys, what are we doing on this beach? Jeff Probst has a house around here somewhere. If we just walk, we'll find it.
Yeah, that's how to survive right there.
Just break into Jeff Probst's house.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Then we see Sarah planning, and she's like, oh, I'm going to use some sesame seeds. I love sesame seeds. Huh. Well, as Padma knows, when I got sent home because I used too many sesame seeds, so.
Not holding on to anything. Not holding on to any resentment. Damar, meanwhile, has a revolutionary idea. He announces that he wants to respect the ingredients because Jesus and Maria were so excited about them. I'm like, wow. I like to think that, like, normally I don't respect the ingredients. I'm just going to drop them on the floor and just, like, throw them in the garbage. But today, I'm going to respect them.
Normally, I would kick the shit out of this cactus and call it fat. But for this challenge, I'm going to be respectful. Yeah. I'm going to be respectful of that. So he's going to do a barbecue sauce for a short rib with the chiltepín. And then he's going to use a prickly pear. I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Who knows? So I just wrote down prickly pear. I don't know. I thought later I'm going to remember why I wrote that.
I took notes. I went out to one of those places where they serve you like Cajun shrimp in a bag, you know? Mm-hmm. And I went and I had like a pound of shrimp and a pound of crab and a beer. And I came home and did notes for Top Chef, which was a mistake because I was basically in some weird post shrimp bag high / falling asleep from food coma. So there are a lot of things that are very murky to me about this episode.
It's also hard to watch so much food that looks delicious when you're not hungry. Like, you need to watch Top Chef hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to the Greek festival this week here in Austin. Yay, go Greeks. Love y'all. Great culture. Went there and it was really cool. And I had just gone to lunch. We went to lunch before we went. And it was the saddest thing ever because the way they made you do it was you put money, when you walk in, they say, how much money do you want to spend? And then you put all that money onto their app, and then they give you a QR code, and then you have to take it to all the booths, and then they scan the QR code, and you get the food, which is so stupid. It's like 100 degrees out there, right? It's really hot. And I walked in, and I was like, well, then I'm not going to spend any. I don't want any food. I'm full. But then as I walked around, I smelled it, and I was like, that's amazing. I want all of these things. Right. And they're like, okay, sir, well, just walk back up that hill to that station and pay them. They'll give you a QR code. And I was like, you know what? Fuck off. I'm not doing this. And then I left. Point is, watch Top Chef Hungry.
No, I saw the through line there. So Damar is basically, he's struggling. He's like, he learned how to deal with cactus on YouTube, how to clean it. But he's not really, he clearly is like out of his comfort zone here. And then, Evelyn is obviously in her comfort zone. And then Buddha is, he's inspired by his dad. So he wants to make a tom yum soup using the chiltepín. And then he wants to make, and I was like down. I was like, yes, that's a great idea. And then he's like, and then I want to make a cake with prickly pear snow. And I was like, for some reason, it drives me nuts when chefs refer to things as snow and as soil. Like, it just, I don't mind snow ice because I know that's like a cultural thing. That's like a, I believe that's a Taiwanese cultural thing. Like, snow ice, I don't mind. But when people do like a prickly pear snow. To me, it's like, no, that's a different thing. And that's, I don't know, it drives me nuts.
I just don't want ice on top of my cake, you know? Ice cream. I want ice cream on top of my cake, but I don't want like ice on it.
I don't want also, snow.
Yeah, snow has pollution in it. So Sarah loves cactus. She sings like an I Love Cactus song, and then she spills ice cream all over the floor. And she's like, God damn it. She's like, I no longer have interest in using this churner. If I had a torch, I would burn the churner to the ground. Fuck the churner. I'm not doing it.
I'm sorry. It's not the churner's fault that you dropped your bowl on the floor, okay, ma'am?
Yes, it is. It should be a more convenient churner. Team Sarah. I'm Team Sarah in the Sarah versus churner fight.
No, I'm not. And the reason why is because I don't think liquid nitrogen ice cream is good. Because it's like very gimmicky. And what happens is the ice cream comes together very quickly and then it melts very quickly. It has like no cold integrity. Like it's just as... It's like cold for 1 second and then you start eating it and it's like liquid 2 seconds later. Whereas if you do it with a churner, it's like cold through and through. So I say no to liquid nitrogen ice cream. I say she should try harder.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then Tom and Kristen Kish come in and they're checking up on everybody. And Damar is talking about his barbecue with, you know, braised red beans and then his prickly pear cake for dessert. And Tom's like, well, you know, if there's anything like your carrot cake, you're going to win this whole thing because I have never had a cake like that carrot cake. That's the best cake I've ever had. Can we roll a clip right now? Hold on. I've got it right here on my phone because they're not rolling it. So I'm just going to show you me saying, whoa, this is the best cake I've ever had in my life. And you remember when I said that? Let me say it again. That was the best carrot cake I've ever had in my entire life.
Huh? And then here's me saying before, you know, I have carrot cake every year for my birthday. This is the best carrot cake I've ever had. And then, oh, that's Padma eating some of Ashley's calamari also.
Had to keep that one. Had to keep that on the camera roll. God, I love that clip.
All right, I'm going to put away this projector and let you guys get back to cooking.
He's got a little Pico projector to show his old clips of himself. It's like...
Or you just have the slideshow where you have to go beep to progress the slide.
Yeah. So they basically, you know, they go around and check on everybody, basically. And Kristen is telling Evelyn, who was she like so weird with? Let me see.
Like everyone. Oh, she seemed very ill at
Buddha.
Ease.
She's like, Buddha, I remember what you made the first challenge. It really stood out, so I'm excited to eat it. And then she tells Evelyn, she's like, wow, I met you on day one, Evelyn. I remember. And Evelyn's like, yeah, I guess I've changed a lot. She goes, well, I'm excited to taste the evolution of Evelyn. I was like, Kristen, work on this a little more.
She was just being passive aggressive.
Somebody tasting my evolution?
She was being passive aggressive to the producers. That was her way of saying, wow, thanks for waiting many weeks to have me back on when you have Brooke on every 2 seconds with her bad makeup. And here I've got a fully beat face because I was a former model, by the way, very telegenic. And you don't even bring me back until the finals and I got to eat this shit. I think that's what she was saying.
I like that. I like that version of it, that she was just coming in bitchy. Like, wow, good to see you. I can't believe I get to come back 18,000 weeks later and in Tucson. God, thanks, producers.
Thanks. It's so good to get a before and after, but not a mid. Not a mid at all. It's okay. I didn't need
God,
that
it's so great not to be in an Italian finale, isn't it? Okay, well, do good. See you later, guys. I'll remember you from day one.
So guess what? Damar's beans are broken because he cooked them in a pressure cooker. Okay, rules for Top Chef contestants. If you are in the finals, do not use pressure cookers or sous vide machines. Don't even go close to them. They will destroy you. They may have worked in the past for you. You may think you know how to use them. But if it's the finals of Top Chef, they will not work. They will send you home. So that is my PSA.
Yeah, and it sucks for Damar, too, because Damar, you know, does such good things, but then his mistakes are like, ugh, dude, really? You broke the beans? I mean, his thing was breaking the rice. Didn't he overcook the... Oh, no, that was that girl from Nebraska. But didn't he also do it?
Yeah. I don't remember if he broke beans or not, or broke rice. I'm not sure. He's been generally excellent all competition.
His rice was too wet or something. Is he the one with wet rice? I don't know. I feel like he had another rice issue.
He had a rice issue a few weeks ago. He's like, I don't want
to. But nothing like that Nebraska girl. Every time Nebraska pops up in the opening, I crack up.
No, she was Dakotas. She was the Dakotas, North Dakota. Your states are all scrambled.
No. She's Nebraska.
No, she was Dakota. She was a Dakota girl.
She was North Dakota?
Pretty sure.
The girl who was like, but I want to make steak.
She was like, yeah, she was the one.
It's Italian day. She's like, no. Oh, no. She wanted to make pasta. Is that her thing?
No, she was on for two episodes. The first episode, she's like, I'm from the North Dakota and we pretty much eat steak and potatoes. That's my comfort food because they made her do like an Asian twist and she conveniently left off the bok choy of her. That was going to be her Asian touch. And then for the next episode where she could finally make her steak and potatoes because it was a potato challenge, she decided to make a Brazilian dish. And you're like, girl, what is going on with you?
Well, I want to welcome all of the judges, even the non-famous ones. Our first dinner in Tucson and last supper before the finale. That's why Gail is dressed like a crucifixion.
First of all, I would love to apologize to the people assembled here. We did have to pretend we were shooting in Paris. And yes, there was a switcheroo at the airport and you're here in Tucson. But we're glad you made the trip anyway.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kristen. It's all mad. They tricked Kristen into coming.
Just a reminder, Gail did just get released from the cage above Carlotta's restaurant. So if you smell anything odd, please don't hold it against her.
I told her there was meat hanging in a cage and she walked right in. Idiot.
So Sarah and Buddha are the first to serve, and Buddha does a Mission Garden Tom Yum, and Padma he's poured the liquid part of it on the he's got it in pourers, and Padma goes,
do I pour like this? Is this how I pour?
No, and it goes on your head, Padma.
Yeah. He's like, yes, you just pour it all in there. She's like,
like this. Am I doing it right?
But I'm a little concerned. I see we have a soup bowl with no soup in it. And we do have a spoon and we have a vessel filled with liquid that has an ability to be poured into something. But I'm just not sure. Do I just pour it on the bread basket or does it go in the soup bowl?
No, Gail, it's not moisturizer. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm just a little dried out right now.
She's been in the sun an awful long time. Gail Seca.
So Buddha says he wanted to bring the garden to the plate. And Tom's like, Tom Yum. He's like, Tom Yum has aromatics. And this has a dumpling wrapped in turnip. And Padma's like,
have you used chiltepin before?
It's like, probably as many times as you've evidently used a soup vessel before. So Sarah is serving lamb with chiltepin, vinaigrette, grape, salo. I have a typo here.
Salad.
Grape salad. I just wrote salad and I wasn't sure. I was like, salad and smoked yogurt.
What is this crunch in your dish? Is it overcooked ahi tuna again?
She's like, oh, that's grapes. Well, I put some bread in there, but also I use the grape seeds because to me, that's a pleasant texture.
Wow, that's interesting. To Gail, fingernails are a pleasant texture. I doubt she cooks it into her dishes. Do you, Gail?
Never say never, though.
And Tom goes, so they're all eating as quiet. And Tom goes, this is the sounds of really good food or of someone when you ask them, what do you want to do with your life? And they're your son. Silence.
So, what do you think of Sarah's lamb, Kristen, who should be in Paris right now? LOL.
Kristen, not in Paris. Coming soon to Netflix.
And Kristen's like, well, I'm not really a lamb person, but I still loved it. I feel like chefs shouldn't say things like that. That bugs me. When they're like, you know, I'm just not into lamb. Like, you're a chef, okay? Get into it. Don't disrespect the lamb.
Okay. Lamb is delicious. The lamb spunked?
It's so strange how lamb is polarizing. I just, when I eat it, I just, I think lamb is tasty, but I don't feel like lamb has a strong enough flavor that you'd have, like, you'd hate. Like, my brother hates lamb, and there are many people who hate lamb, and I just don't, like, I understand when people don't like cilantro, and I understand when people don't like certain crazy, like an olive. Like, an olive is like a, I love olives, but I know it's like an aggressive, briny flavor, you know? But lamb is, to me, just like lamb.
Yeah, stop building lambs. So they're talking about how elegant it is. And Jesus is so funny. He's like so into it. He's like, I could tell she was a gardener because she spotted the perfect grapes. And she got them and she made it beautiful. It's like, yes, Jesus. Like, that's a man with passion for his work.
You don't get a lot of visitors at the Mission Garden, do you?
Well, but she's just so amazing that she could see the grapes and know which were the best grapes.
Well, it's like the time me and Gail went into the M&M store. Am I right, Gail?
She can spot the difference between a caramel M&M and a peanut M&M just by looking at them. Isn't that amazing for her?
What about Buddhist Tom Yum?
And they loved it. They loved the layering. And Padma goes,
my mouth... my tongue is so warm, glowy, and throbbing just a little bit.
Okay, Padma.
Hold on. Let me call my dear friend, Rob Gronkowski. Hi, Rob. Guess what? Oh, am I interrupting football times? Oh, that's funny because I did Powder Puff. Anyway, my tongue is throbbing. Talk to you later. Bye.
My tongue is so warm, glowy, and throbbing just a little bit.
Makes me want to put on a nightie and make a cold cucumber soup.
Okay, so in the kitchen, Damar's fucked, basically. Yeah. And he's, like, rushing to get everything done. There's barbecue sauce. He's still waiting for that to caramelize. And they serve. And Padma's like,
wow, I see a big smile on Evelyn. Hey, Evelyn, what's got your tongue throbbing?
And Evelyn has made a Nepal relleno with a shrimp puree. And Damar has made pork shoulder glaze in chiltepín barbecue sauce with pickles with chiltepín. And so they're eating it. And Padma's like, what's this sweetness? Is this prickly pear? Is that what it is?
Yes. Oh, Padma, your tongue is still just throbbing, huh?
Really is.
What is this? And he's like, yes, it's prickly pear, and the barbecue is also there, and I also used it kind of a spice on top.
Okay, thank you both. Go stutter in the kitchen tomorrow. I can't.
So Maria's like, my first bite was like, like, I like it. It's like my high.
You want to cry about it? You're gonna cry? Don't dilute the flavors with your tears.
And Kristen says it was very creative, but also familiar somehow. And basically, they all love it.
Familiar? That's like, not like your face to these chefs, because they've only seen you twice this entire season.
I'll tell you where you're not going to be familiar after tonight. Paris, LOL.
Look, I arranged my soda straws in the shape of the Eiffel Tower. Does that make you feel better, Kristen?
I've never had a relleno like this, but I could have used a little more chiltepín here.
Hold on, let me check my tongue. No, not throbbing. That's sad.
My tongue gives this 2 out of 4 not throbbing.
So Tom's like, you know, I think Damar's is beautifully cooked, but not enough chiltepín in favor. I mean, it's like getting a carrot cake, and you find out it's made by your son, who's a mixologist, doesn't even know a thing how to make carrot cake, despite his father trying to teach him every single week. Sad. Very sad.
And, you know, Damar's was pretty mild. It was pretty mild. And Jesus is like, you know, it's nice to see a good southern dish, but then you realize there's prickly pear. And Gail's like, well, the sweetness in the sauce is fantastic, but he really didn't think about the sweetness of the sauce and how the other ingredients were going to go together.
Is that
kind of like you having to get pants and a shirt on the same day, am I right, Gail?
Gail, is that why you made Harry Potter glasses out of the barbecue sauce around your eyes?
Gail, how are you the only one with the barbecue sauce mustache? Anybody?
Oh, my apologies. Apparently it's a full beard of barbecue sauce. I don't know how you did that, but you did it. It kind of works.
So then sweets are next. And Sarah's like, oh my God, Buddha's dessert looks like it was made in a museum. This ice cream is going to be the death of me. And of course, his food is all gorgeous, you know.
Right.
So they serve it, and Sarah is... the desserts, listen, I hate to be a Kristen here, but I'm not a chef. I'm allowed to say this. I can't with all this crazy dessert. I need some ice cream and something chewy inside of it, please. That's all. Anything else just turns me off. I can't.
Yeah, so Sarah has made a cactus tart with saguaro flour ice cream and cactus caramel, and Buddha's made cactus with cream. It's a cactus cake, cactus seed ice cream, and prickly pear snow. So Tom's like, no, I feel like Sarah's dish is a sticky, sweet bowl of goodness. And Papa goes, I feel like a child. But maybe that's because I just look so youthful.
Well, it's unfortunate that it melted. And yeah, because you're fucking eating outside in Tucson. What the hell is it supposed to do? you expecting her to make some super ice cream? So then they talk about Buddhas, and there's one guy there who's just obsessed with the colors of everything. He's like, the colors, the pink, the orange, it was the color of Tucson, and that's what I loved about it. And then another dish, he's like, the colors of this dish, the red, the green, the amber, Tucson in color form. I loved it. It's like, is this the color chef? Is that his thing? It's like the guy who won the design show on here. That's yeah. Like painting rooms different colors. He's like, color. That's what I do. I paint rooms colors.
And now I host a show where people win lottery tickets and then they can buy our dream home. And I tell them to spend all their lottery winnings on the home that they won't be able to afford because of taxes. Go buy it.
Yes. The only show that people are rich until I get a hold of them and they leave in debt. He's like, the house is $2 million. Oh my God, you have 1.5. You should buy it and remodel it.
It's the most predatory show on HGTV, that damn lottery dream home show. So Kristen, she's like, Kristen thinks Buddha's fruit is a superstar. And then Jesus, I'm sorry. He was not getting a whole lot of prickly pear flavor. And then Tom is like, no, I mean, the issue with this ice cream is it's just too cold. And it just really dulled the flavor of the ice cream. You know, just way, 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 way too cold. I know. That might explain why Gail put it on the ground and started making snow angels out of it.
And Buddha is eating it in the kitchen. He just looks up at the camera. He's like, I don't even care if they lock it. Oh, I love that. And just keeps eating.
His mouth is full of this ice cream. He's just like,
he's so cute. He's like a little Buddha, like a little guy. So Evelyn's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is boiling down to two ingredients I grew up eating. I mean, oh my God, this is standing between me and the finale. And let's see. Basically, you know, stew room, whatever. So then we go to the judges to talk about who is winning and who is losing.
Yes. And by the way, Damar made a prickly pear cake glazed with prickly pear and saguaro fruit. And Evelyn made a sour...
Oh my gosh, should I skip Damar? How rude. And I'm Evelyn so sorry.
Made a sour orange and sweet lime curd with saguaro pod and meringue and prickly pear creamy nut.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I did not do that on purpose. I was looking out my window because I saw a squirrel running on a fence.
And Maria goes, when it's all done, Maria's like, you know what? Evelyn did something I have been doing my whole career as a Mexican chef. Crying. No. No, she was elevating it. Oh. Well, anyway, all the desserts today were pretty damn good.
Evelyn finally gave me that beautiful punch of color I was waiting for someone to give me. I just said, God, I hope tonight I get a punch of color at dinner. And I didn't get it. But then Evelyn came around. She gave me the green, the orange, the purple of Tucson.
The color guy is at the end like, excuse me, are you going to take everything I just said?
Oh, and Gail also, she describes talking about one of their cake. I think Damara, she goes, you know, I think the actual cake has a beautiful, subtle flavor I wasn't familiar with. And then I realized I was tasting the cactus. No shit, Sherlock. It's a cactus cake. What else did you think you were tasting? I'm so sorry, people of Tucson.
I'm sorry Gail insists on judging with the Twizzler in her mouth at the same time she's eating the food.
Oh, Kristen, just pretend she's wearing a beret. That's sort of like Paris.
And Tom's like, whoa, that food was just so great. I feel like a prickly pear.
Good one, Tom.
So in the stew room, Sarah's like, God, there have been just so many tragedies. I've just gone through so many tragedies today. And Evelyn says, what's done is done. That's it. So at the judge's table, Tom's like, wow, you guys knocked it out of the park. It was a perfect game. You know, home run.
I played Powder Puff.
I'm right. Not familiar with these terms, Tom. Can you please reframe it for Powder Puff?
Evelyn, you showed us an elevated, elegant version of a Rihanna that was beautifully, beautifully executed. I'm going to leave out the part where I said, God, I really could have used more chiltepine.
My tongue throbbed so hard for your dish. And Tom is like,
yeah, you completely reimagined it and you honored the ingredients really well and put together a really, really tasty dish. Maybe not the same level as the Mars carrot cake, but it was good. It was good.
And Gail said, you know, it felt like you, but it also felt like you were pushing to be more than you, which is really all we can do. Good luck with that, Gail. So talk to me about your dessert, Evelyn.
And she's like, well, you know, I just wanted to go subtle, but I am familiar with the prickly pear.
Well, you know what your dessert did? It exalted the prickly pear. Exalted it.
Gail's like, texturally, it was fantastic to eat. And Evelyn goes, yeah, thanks. I mean, it sort of just came to me in the middle of the night. Oh, yeah, like Gail knocking on the window at Beard Papa's. Am I right?
Kristen's like, I hate lamb. But Sarah, your lamb was by far my favorite thing of the day. And Sarah's like, oh, no, I mean, wow. Thank you. I've never said that to anybody before, that their lamb was my favorite. Lamb is disgusting. Okay, Kristen, we're not honoring the ingredients. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're doing an avatar version of judging today. Okay? We're only honoring ingredients. Thank you for your service, Chiltepine.
You know, it's so funny that you've never said you've enjoyed lamb before. You know what's something I've never said? Please welcome for the fifth time this season, Kristen Kish.
You know something else Kristen has never said before? Bonjour. I've arrived in Paris.
Greetings from Paris.
All right, let's talk about dessert. And Sarah's like, oh my God, it gave me hell today. I had ice cream all over me. Wow. Did you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I should host Top Chef Family?
Top Chef pour la famille. That's how they say it in France, Kristen. Sorry. So Padma's like, Damar, how was the day for you? That's my way of saying it translated very badly for us.
He's like, well, I fell behind because I was, you know, running around a lot and trying to do that. And Kristen loved his sauces. And Gail says it was very smart, but, you know, things were too separate and didn't blend together well.
And, you know, the Pricklies was a great vehicle to showcase the chiltepine, but the texture being so fine didn't showcase the vehicle itself.
This is when Padma says vehicle 35 times before the end of the episode, by the way.
Padma, I can't with her. She's ridiculous.
It didn't showcase the vehicle. You know what I did? I walked right up to your dish and I waved my ankle underneath it. It didn't even open the trunk. What kind of vehicle showcase is this? Chiltepine, take me to Whole Foods. Didn't do anything.
Unfortunately, it turns out that Pickley's does not fit for passengers the way the BMW X57 Talenti Layers Edition does.
So she loved the dessert, and Gail's like, oh yeah, the textures of I don't know what I wrote here,
cheese and
crispiness of the figgy bud. Oh wow, that was so smart. Tom's like, well, you baked, and it's great to see that kind of confidence on someone to bake. I mean, you baked. Now, was it the best carrot cake I've ever had in my life? Unfortunately, that's not going into my Pico projector. But it was good.
Buddha, let's talk about your food. And Gail goes, you used that chilled bean in the most striking way. Every bite had a punch of heat and so much flavor. Oh, yeah. You should have seen Gail. She was sweating all over the tablecloth. I mean, it was the thing nearly disintegrated on her lap.
And Kristen's like, oh my God, those dumplings. Like, I want to learn how to make those. Those were amazing. Yeah, you could tell that this was done by the hand of a very technically savvy chef. But I wanted more intensity.
I felt like, you know what it really needed? A steering wheel and maybe four wheels in addition to that. I was lacking the vehicle nature of it.
I mean, did it have an airbag? No, it did not. Therefore, you're going home.
We have not decided that, Padma.
I know, I just felt like saying it. They can cut it out in editing. Buddha, you can stop crying, all right?
Chefs, we have a hugely important decision to make. Who gets a ticket to Paris? Not you, Kristen. Oh, I guess we just made the decision. We also have to decide what's going to happen to you guys.
Soylent Green, spoiler alert. So then Sarah's like, what the fuck? That was the most confusing judges table I've ever been a part of. Usually judging table consists of, that one didn't poison me, so I guess you win. Mm-hmm. Last Chance Kitchen, where you have 5 minutes to not give me food poisoning.
Yeah, and so then we go to the judges deliberating, and Tom's like, well, you know, they clearly took inspiration from Maria and Jesus, and they took it to heart. What a novel idea. Getting inspiration from someone and following through. I never, unfortunately, got to experience that with my son, who's a mixologist, but I'm sure maybe he will have a son who's a mixologist too, and they can enjoy living in their one-bedroom apartment together.
Well, Beata had my favorite dish, but his dessert needed more flavor. Well, Evelyn's Napoli-Riano was amazing.
Oh yeah, I could eat that over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then I would eat it again. I'd just keep eating it. And then when the day was done, I'd say, whoa, Michael Keaton, teach me how to have Groundhog's Day. Just so I could have that over and over again. Well, hopefully Andy McDowell will come. You know, she loves my restaurant. Speaking of.
How dare you mention Andy McDowell? You know, we have a fierce rivalry dating back to 1997.
So let's see here.
Tom thought that Sarah's was on par with any 3-star Michelin restaurant. And he's saying this, he's going nuts over Sarah's food. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's like a 3-star Michelin restaurant. It is up there with all the best of them. This is one of the best things I ever ate. And Pam is just staring at him like, ew, Sarah with a hair that doesn't even work on a green screen.
The girl I call ew.
Oorah.
But Tom does always go too hard for the people he brings back from Last Chance.
Oh, that's true. Last Chance I didn't Kitchen. Think about that.
He always goes really hard. He's like, but you see, I did the right thing by keeping Sarah, right? 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 Everybody? Right? Right? Right?
No, Jersey's Tom.
Good, right?
No, stop. Tom, stop it. Put your fedora back on. So Gail's like, well, you know what? I keep going back to Sarah's. It was herbaceous and well flavored. And might I say again, herbaceous. Okay, Gail, we get it. I mean, I personally can find things I would improve on Sarah's dessert. Starting with Sarah, can we get a less plain person to make dessert for us?
I mean, really, who wants that hair on the front of an ice cream cone? Am I right?
Hello, Ben and Jerry's called. They want their hairstyle back.
Well, Damar's pork dish really did not rise to the challenge. And I didn't think Damar, he just didn't go as far as he could have in the exploration of the chiltepine. And that was really what this challenge was about.
just whining.
She was. She got really upset for the Chilta beat.
I think she was like still upset that Tom went so hard for Sarah. She was like really rattled by that. And Gail goes, I mean, you could not taste it in the barbecue sauce or the pickles. Well, Gail, to be fair, you had just guzzled 4 A&W root beers right beforehand. Your palate may have been a little askew.
Well, I loved his cake. And personally, I think Evelyn's dessert was the best. And
in the stew room, Damar saying, wow, looking around, I can tell you that I almost doubled my friend group. And they all laugh. And Buddha goes, well, I quadrupled mine.
They're like, wow. Haha, you just yes-anded in a way that we didn't appreciate. They're like, it was like a sad and.
Yeah, it was a depression and.
So now they go back in. Tonight's decision was a really difficult one, but also hilarious because someone's dreams will be dashed.
Mm-hmm. Chefs, I have a monologue. You know, sometimes things together come together. Sometimes they don't come together. When they come together, you've got a Broadway show. When they don't come together, you've got a Christmas dinner of vodka mixed with different flavored sodas and rosemary twigs. So, you know, there's that. The dishes losing tonight just didn't come together. Mm-hmm. So,
Padma?
Yeah, you know, Padma? Chefs, just want to mention, Evelyn, you were the winner. And also, you know, when you're a kid, you look up at the moon, you think, someday I can fly, I can be an astronaut. And you get into a spaceship, and you say, if I were in the spaceship, what kind of cactus dish would I want? And that's what we explore tonight. It's a cactus in space. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have cactus. Padma?
Cactus of Life, a new spinoff, starring neither Cloris Leachman or Mrs. Garrett. So, you know, good luck with that. Padma?
Featuring Joe from The Facts of Life, as well as Kevin, the older brother from Mr. Belvedere. Padma?
Padma?
Tom just doing upfronts for some terrible, terrible sitcom.
And Kristen's like, well, there were two exceptional dishes. You're not in Paris, Kristen. Give it up.
Tamar, I'm so sorry. Please pack your knives and leave. It's terrible that you will not be here in Tucson any longer.
Just kidding. Enjoy the ride back home to nowhere.
Enjoy the Greyhound. Please pack your broken beans and go. And so Tamar is like, you know, it really sucks to be eliminated. You know, I mean, the winning was a serious possibility, but errors were made. So, I mean, I've had hardships and I've had challenges, and those have forced me to grow. And now Top Chef is another one of those things.
It's like Top Chef was a challenge and a hardship. Come on. You did great, Damar. You should be proud of yourself.
Damar was wonderful. He just had a mess up. He messed up in the end there, but oh well.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to be in the finale. My guess would have been Sarah would have gone today.
Yeah.
And then the finale would have been between, God, it's hard to say. Well, I guess the finale is three people, right?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was expecting Buddha, Evelyn. Although I was wondering if Evelyn was going to maybe like fall apart at the last second, but I was going to say, I feel like Evelyn's going to win. I feel like Buddha is really, really strong, but he's going to choke in the finale in a weird way. And I don't know what Sarah's going to do, but I think that Sarah will do something perfectly fine and good, but I don't think she's going to win the whole thing.
I think she's going to freak herself out and make a stupid mistake on something because she's freaking herself out. But if Evelyn wins, that's the first time I think that I'll have picked the winner from our preview episode. Yeah, I don't think I've ever done it before.
Wow, that's really awesome. Anything.
How cool. I will be so excited. Evelyn, if you lose, you're dead to me. So good luck.
Wow. Well, we'll find out in just a few days. In the meantime,
we sure will.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you all tuning in. And we'll be back later this week with, of course, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Beverly Hills, and The Real Housewives of Dubai. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Du, Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber,
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.